as we are endeavoring on this new part of the ministry that God has called us to about kingdom unity, it can get a little overwhelming at times if you allow it to. And God's faithfulness is what always keeps me going. As I said, there has been many prophecies prophesied over us, and they have come to pass. Some that haven't yet, this is one of them, but every one has come to pass. So I stir up my heart with these things and look at the past and what he's done, because if you don't, it can start to get overwhelming to try and bring unity to the body of Christ, to people with religious backgrounds, and they get set in a certain state and they don't even realize they're in that state. We've had people come back to this church, and after 6 months they said, "Wow, I didn't realize what I was in until I got over here for 6 months," because then everything started to come back alive to them, and then they realized what condition they were in during that time they were gone. And so this is what you're dealing with in the body of Christ. They don't know that they don't know. And so then you're trying to bring unity, and they haven't really been taught how to do that. And they haven't been taught about their hearts and all of these issues. And so they bring all their attitudes into this, and somehow you got to sort this through. But this is what the Lord has trained us up for, and this is what he wants us to do. But it can be overwhelming, and so it is in the natural the dumbest thing that anybody would ever want to try and do. Unless God has called you to do it and told you to do it, forget about it. Don't even start on it, because it's just really overwhelming at times. But I just look at God's faithfulness. So I'm just going to share some things from my heart that let you know how I deal with things, and maybe that will help you in your life. Plus, you know how I'm dealing with everything that I have to do, and you can pray along those lines also. So there's all kinds of benefits that can come from this. But let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Actually, we'll start in verse 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his affection on you. He's speaking to the nation of Israel here. And Moses is saying this. And he's talking about driving out the nations and giving them the victory. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. Well, we can relate to that, can't we? For you were the fewest of all peoples. See how God works? But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Now it talks there about our faithfulness to him. But if we are faithful to do what we know from the Word of God and work it into our hearts and into our lives, then he is faithful to us and he will bring it to pass. This is the way he functions. But to those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destructions. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Now, I know no Christian hates God, but how much do they love him? Do they love him enough to love their enemies? You know, whenever I do a heart seminar, I ask, "Do you love Jesus?" Oh, yeah, everybody puts up their hand. I don't dare ask the question when I get finished teaching, because they can see that they haven't really loved him. They haven't forgiven from their heart. They haven't done this. They haven't done that. They haven't done these things. I was talking to a man, send me an email. He goes to a Pentecostal church in Waterloo, and he said since he started hearing this teaching on the heart, He says the Lord has done numerous open heart surgeries on him and dealing with issues in his life that he didn't realize that were there. And he's going to keep coming out and wants to hear the rest of the teaching. But see, this is how God is going to bring about this unity, is dealing with people's hearts. And the heart seminar is how he deals with them, because it brings out situations and circumstances. And I use my own life as an example. And then he shows them what is wrong. They love the Lord. They are humble people, but they just caught up in a religious system where they haven't had the teaching that goes deep enough to actually make a change in their lives. They therefore take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers. So I always teach, we don't keep the law, we fulfill it. From a power of a new life and a personal relationship with God, with full access through the throne of grace to live that new life. It's God that works in us both to will and to do. But we still keep the law by fulfilling it. But keeping the law to me is, I'm trying to do it. Fulfilling it is living in the power of a new life by the grace of God. It's funny how one little word can change your whole concept of thinking, but it's important. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and oil, the calves of your herds, healed all my pigs, and the lambs of your flocks in the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. That's your whole livelihood, your family, your life. Everything gets blessed when you do it his way. None of your men or women will be childless. Wow. You know, we've prayed for a lot of women that couldn't bear children, but then after we prayed, they were able to. Nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Now, just because you have a sickness or disease or even cancer doesn't mean you were bad. That cancer gene is in your body from hereditary things. That's what Kathy has. She has a lot of cancer on her side of the family. But cancer, you don't feel it. It starts growing. You don't know it's there. That's why we have tests and find out. But it's a cancer gene. Now all of our kids can go and get tested to see whether they have that cancer gene or not. We are so fortunate we live in Canada where we don't have to pay for all these things. Do not look on them with pity and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. So God is saying, stick with me, do what I tell you, keep your act right, trust in me, believe in me, I will empower you, I will work in you, stay humble, all of these things, work together. Take advice, take correction. All of these things will work together for God to be faithful to us. You may say to yourself, these nations are stronger than we are. This situation is too big for me to handle. How can we drive them out? How can we get the victory? But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. See, he staked them back. This is what God did for you in the past. He is a faithful keeping God, covenant keeping God. This is the way he is. Do your part and he'll always keep giving you the victory. You saw with your own eyes the great trials, the miraculous signs and wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. And so he's taken them back to what God did for them in the past. And this is what I often do in my own life. God always gives me something that I've never done before or don't feel I'm qualified to do. And I just look at what he's done in the past. And all of that has become a part of my life. And so, you know, there's times where you wonder about this, and I'm getting older, can I really handle this? But if God has called you to do it, he will be there to do it. And so I look back at all the prophecies that have been fulfilled, what God has done in our lives, what he's done in this ministry, and where I started and didn't even think God could use me. And that encourages me. And you need to do that in your own life, all the good things that God has done, the times. The Holy Spirit, Lord, remind me by your Holy Spirit of all those good things that happened I didn't even realize you were involved with, because I was being faithful. The Lord your God will do the same to all the people you now fear. Did you get this, Sue? Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. He's going to fix them. I will curse those that curse you, and I will bless those that bless you. That's our inheritance also. But you got to stand on the word and believe it. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. Spiritual principle here is that we're in a battle, and you're going to get strong, and the Lord is going to give you the victory a little at a time. But you got to be faithful. But then when you're strong, they can't come back. That problem can't come back. See, this is why I never quit serving God. To me, this project now of which we're going to start in 2 weeks, we're going to have that Kingdom Unity service. To me, it's another field to plow. The old farmer gets out there, and I'm just going to keep plowing and plowing and plowing. It's God's problem. He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to deal with people's hearts. He's going to discipline them. All I got to do is teach them how he's going to do it. Keep your heart right, because we're functioning on a new level in the spiritual realm of Kingdom Unity. God wants this. He is going to bring it to pass. This is what the prophetic word is to the church today. The only ones that could stop it is us, and God is going to discipline it, discipline us. How is he going to do that? Because I'm going to teach on how he does it, and he's going to do it when people take communion. If their hearts are not right, you'll end up getting sick, because God is going to have his church. In the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead when they lied to the Holy Ghost. You know, it was at the time the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God's glory was evident everywhere, and they still chose to lie to the Holy Spirit. And God sent judgment, and everybody was afraid. The fear of God came on the people. They were even afraid to join the apostles and hang around with them. God is going to have his way. He is going to bring this to pass, and he's going to do it. I don't have to worry about it. I just have to teach properly. So the Lord showed me was that he hasn't been enforcing this because it hasn't been taught. The whole spiritual structure that God has intended, a theocracy, is not being used in churches. You got boards deciding things, telling the pastor what to do, all of these things. And the Lord wants to back the pastors up, but they don't understand how he works. They don't understand that God will back you up the same as he backed Moses up, as long as you're pastoring right and teaching truth. They don't even know what the truth is anymore, because they don't understand spiritual authority. So God can't enforce it on the people because they don't know. They haven't been taught. But once they've been taught, then they are accountable. So that's what I'm going to teach. This is how God works. This is how he's going to build his church. This is how he's going to keep order in it. So every time you have communion, you better make sure your act is together. And you better have the fear of the Lord. And if you don't have any fear of God, there's no fear of God in the churches. But you got to teach in such a way that the fear of the Lord will come. And if you do, he will confirm it. He's God. You know, like when you teach it, and somebody's heart is not right and they take communion, they get sick that day, start puking and bringing up. They won't put two and two together. Next Sunday or two Sundays later, they'll have communion again and they'll start puking. And eventually, they'll get it figured out. Wait, have communion, get sick. Have communion, get sick. You know, it's like the lady that came to our church was sick every Sunday. Well, she knew she needed deliverance. You know, eventually, they'll get it figured out. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. Wow. So I don't care who does what, who says what. I know I'm setting myself up for a lot of abuse from the body of Christ in general. Oh, you're starting another church. You're trying to steal sheep. You're doing this. You're doing that. No, I'm just serving Jesus. I'm just leaving my gate open. If my grass is greener and they come here, that's not my problem. Start teaching the truth and they'll stay there. But we don't want them to join anyways. We just want to teach them so that they can go take it back to their church. He will give their kings into your hand and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them by your good life. But see, here's the key. You got to keep loving them and praying for them. Because otherwise, if you don't, your heart won't stay free. You'll get so overwhelmed by the wickedness and the abuse that you won't be able to stand. So that's true for every individual, every person that works in your own life that way. These are spiritual truths in how God works. And so I just got to start practicing being abused again. What to do about it? You guys have been so good to me. I haven't been abused for quite a while. I'm getting sloppy. But when I am abused, I automatically just pray for people. I do not take offense. Your emotions are upset, but I pray my way through them. Bless them so that my heart stays right. And that's what we're going to teach to everybody. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver to gold on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. God is very, very definite here about things, isn't he? Because there's spiritual implications behind this. Those things are detestable, and they have idols. You bring those idols into your house, there's spirits attached to them. And you're saying, spirits, come on into my house and oppress me because I'm going to take this idol in here, knowing what it represents. Okay? Now, I used to go to Egypt. They would give us all kinds of presents. We'd take them home and burn them. I mean, just weird stuff. I mean, the pharaohs and all that, they were gods and pictures of this and pictures of that. We just didn't feel comfortable bringing that into our house. Utterly abhor and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. All of these negative things cause us not to walk in the light. And if we're not walking in the light, then we can't see the light. We're in a spiritual dark place, or darker place than what we should be. See, this is what religion does, because it doesn't teach the fullness of God's word and spiritual authority and how God works in people's lives and how the negative realm works in people's lives. They're just keeping people happy, tickling their ears, good programs, good worship, and the church grows, but the people aren't being made disciples. They're made disciples of the religious system. So what we're bringing along is like Bill described what Teen Challenge does, but we're bringing it to the body of Christ. Discipline, order, God is going to deal with you if you don't, and here's the teaching, now you're accountable for it. But they haven't had the teaching. And so God can't really enforce it the way he wants to, but he is building his church, and his church is going to be holy. And he's going to purify their hearts. Any people that don't cooperate with that, so I'm going to tell them right up front, we're not playing church here. God's doing this, and this is how he's going to do it. So be prepared, because we're going to be the vanguard of that army that God is raising up. and we're going to cast out demons, and we're going to do inner healing, and we're going to pray for the sick, and we're going to make disciples. That's what the Bible school is for, the seminars are for. And if people keep coming, they will eventually get set free. I went to Fountain of Hope in Kitchener yesterday. They were Pastor Frank and his church do a lot of the work there, but they had this barbecue outside of the market square, and they had a lineup of people from the building all the way down through the front court. They had tables outside and all the way down the sidewalk waiting for their barbecued food. And they're all standing in line, and they got a worship team there. And it was pretty overwhelming to see all these street people standing in line for a bite to eat. There was one lady in line. She was cursing and cussing in general to anybody that would listen, quoting the Bible and talking about her third eye. All in the same breath. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, God, what do you do with these people? I mean, they are so messed up between the two spiritual realms, their emotions. It is a zoo. And I didn't want to go near her or talk to her or anything, because, like, what can you do in 2 minutes with a person like this? But, you know, your heart goes out to them. You see what the devil has done to these people. They've been on drugs, prostitutes, 15-year-old. They get into the sex trade because they're so emotional, and these people take advantage of them, manipulate them, control them, or they're into drugs and they got thrown out of that. My parents threw me out of the house. Well, if you hadn't been on drugs, the parents wouldn't have thrown you out. You know, like, they're always blaming somebody else. They're full of rejection, full of hurt. Their life is a total mess. Anyways, I stayed for about an hour and a half, and I came home. And Brody, who was here last week, he used to be on the streets and in drugs, and the Lord delivered him from that all. And I've sort of taken him under my wing to teach him and train him. But he phoned me afterwards. He said, you know, that lady we saw online that was cursing and cussing and doing all those things and talking about her third eye? He says, I talked to her later, and she said, I know you. You're an evangelist, and you travel to other countries, and your wife goes with you, and this, that. And he's thinking, what is this? Some demon that knows everything about me that's talking through her? But then she said where she had met him, and it was at this healing center where he goes and ministers once in a while. And he says, I didn't recognize her because she's 80 pounds less than what she was at that time. And she said, Brody, and he prayed as he saw her coming, and he said, Lord, give her a moment of clarity here so I can talk to her. And so she was at this place for a couple of weeks, I guess. It's a farm where they take people in. It's called the Father's House. And they do some inner healing, and they do prophecy, and they do Zozo ministry, but all of those things are good to get them to start to learn about Jesus, but unless you take them through the whole process, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. So she was there. That's where she learned a lot of stuff about the Bible and scriptures, but then she left. Actually, the demons started to manifest, and she thought these people were a cult, and that the woman in charge had a white wig on, and she was out to get her, and they were going to do something terrible to her. So she took off. She left there, and she still thinks they're looking for her. See how their mind and the demons and how it works through there. But she needed deliverance when she was there and never got it, because in the body of Christ, some people tell me to do deliverance because with Zozo ministry, what do you want God to do for you? And they tell the people, or the people say what they want God to do. What are you willing to give up for God? And so it's like a trade-off, which is fine, and God honors that, but it's not deliverance. But they call that deliverance. And some people say they do deliverance, but there's no manifestations. And they don't even take authority. They just, devil be gone in Jesus' name. I break your power now in Jesus' name. That's how they pray. And people burp a little bit and they think they've done deliverance. Like, it's just, people haven't had the experience of this and they think they know something and that's working in their lives or in their ministry. And it's so far from what deliverance really is. And they don't think that demons should scream. You just have to tell them to be quiet and there shouldn't be any manifestations. Well, how do you know you're doing any deliverance if there's no manifestations? They screamed when Jesus told them to come out. You know? So there's such a converted mess of understanding about everything out there. And Zozo ministry. Well, people don't even know what it is. I mean, I had to find out what they do to understand what it was. It's not a biblical term. You know, Zozo is, but Zozo ministry. See, they come up with these new names to make it sound really spiritual, that everybody would want a new revelation. And it's so much confusion out there. We had people come for counseling and say, the last counselor told me, I have to get my people part saved. What in the world does that mean? It means they have multiple personalities and they got to get rid of them. But each personality is supposed to get saved and come back into the person in a real way, or assimilated back into the character of the person. Anyway, something like that. You know, it's just, and they use these terms, and there's so much confusion out there. And then you get into psychiatry, and they don't even understand spirits. Like, so there's a real zoo out there of people. If this girl had gotten deliverance there at that time proper, and being on that farm, and people loving her and teaching her, she may have been set free and stayed free. Now she's in worse condition than when she went there. You see what I'm saying? And all these people are in this lineup, and there were so many of them, like 200-300, I don't know. It was just overwhelming. It's good that I went there. I needed to see that. Now, there is so much emotional problems, spiritual problems, physical problems with these people. Like, it's hard to help them because they never were self-disciplined. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why they're on the street. Yeah. And so, like, it's just a massive zoo of humanity and carnality and demonic activity is what it is. And it was overwhelming for me to see all of this, all these people that live on the streets coming there to get a bite to eat. And I thought, my Lord, what are we supposed to do with this kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. But if you have meetings, we're going to start Sunday night meetings, and if it's not in town, thank goodness, or they'd all be coming at once. But the Lord says you have to start breaking it down. First, get rid of the demons. Get them in the Word, emotional healing, prayer for their physical healing, and there might be some doctors or some psychiatrists needed in that process. But this is why Teen Challenge works, because they get them separated from life and family, totally separated. They give them work to do, chapel every morning, get them some discipline in their lives. Because if you don't get discipline in their lives, you can cast out all the demons. They'll go back and live the same way, and it'll get worse. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not an easy fix. But everybody wants a little prayer to make everything better. It just doesn't work that way. And they don't understand the process that these people have to go through. And so now we got a lot of people out there casting out demons, but They don't understand that you got to make a disciple too. You can't just cast out demons because it can come back if they don't grow. There is a responsibility when you've seen the power of God to grow. And God will give them the victory a little bit at a time sometimes. Then they need prayer. They need mentoring. They need loving. They need a lot of things. And the church doesn't have a clue about any of this stuff. This man from the Pentecostal church that said God had been doing open heart surgery on him since he started hearing the teaching. He said he took someone to their pastor who had a whole bunch of problems, and he was hoping that the pastors would help him, this man with something. And what they did was send him to a psychiatrist. That's how pastors deal with it. They don't want this stuff in their church. They just want nice people paying their tithes, good music, see a smile on their face, keep them happy for 1 hour Sunday morning, and the rest of the week let the devil have them. I mean, this is what the church is in general today. And there is no fear of God. There's no understanding of spiritual things. They can't set anybody free. That's why they're the mountaintops up here, and they're living down here, and their teaching is down here, because they haven't been through this. They don't understand this. I'm not putting the pastors down. They haven't been trained this. It's the whole system of religion and what it's passed down. Their theology centers, their Bible schools, some of them don't even believe Christians can have a demon. So how are they going to teach on it? And all we've done is cast out demons out of Christians for 35 years. And then they figure, we're the crazy ones. We're way out in left field or right field. Left field, I guess. But see, this is, and now God wants to build his church. And we're going to have to deal with all this stuff, because the greatest thing we're going to have to deal with in the future is deliverance. Even on Christians, the love of many will grow cold, Jesus said. And it talks about their actions, and that they'll even hate one another and turn against one another. That's the tactics that God uses on the enemy. But the enemy is using it in the church. But God is greater than the devil, and he can bring the devil's people into confusion. Wow. But they don't understand these things. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 8. My goodness, how did it get to be 11:30? See, these are the kind of things we're going to have to teach on Sunday night, where people that are serious can come and learn. But we also got some pastors and pastors' wives that are really getting excited about this, because they're dealing with street people and they don't know what to do with them. One lady is coming over, brought a school teacher over who's a friend of hers, and she was a new age, and she's going through deliverance and sitting there just screaming. And this pastor's wife said, when I grow up, I want to be like Pastor Kathy. Kathy's training a few pastors and pastors' wives how to do deliverance. And, you know, we're going to keep doing deliverance seminars, keep teaching and training. You know, and you have to depend so much on the Holy Spirit. Kathy and I took deliverance course from Lovell McGuire at Bible school. And then I think we do it different than Lovell does, but it's a combination of understanding the heart and the whole process. But we just learn by the Holy Spirit. You just start doing it, and the Holy Spirit starts showing you. It's how we learn to pastor. It's how we learn to do anything. 1 Kings 8, verse 56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. See how God is faithful to his word. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Not one prophecy that was of God, that was spoken over our lives, has failed. He has fulfilled them all so far. And he's going to fulfill this one too. See, that's how I can do these things. Because I know in my own strength it's impossible. In my own wisdom it's impossible. But God's going to do it because this is what he's speaking to his church. This is what he wants done. He is going to bring it to pass. You know, if here's my thought. If the whole thing falls apart and the Christians can't learn to get along, he'll bring a lot of people in that need deliverance. He will set them free. He will deal with their hearts. That's what he did with me. And he'll raise up. It's like he told Moses, step aside, Moses. We'll wipe them out and we'll start over. If that's what has to happen, then that's what will happen. But he is going to do it. It's not fun working my way through that. But for God, I will do it because that's what he's prepared me for. See, so I don't even think of failure. Once in a while, it gets a little overwhelming because when we started the church, we had all kinds of religious people come from different churches, and it wasn't fun. They didn't want to grow up. They were so, but see, God has been speaking to people. And this week, I got a meeting with three different people that are doing things that are going to fit in with this. And I'm going to talk and find out their hearts, seek their hearts, and get them involved in the big picture of things. This is what I've been doing. It's God, just people coming across my path or divine appointments and just going and sharing the vision with them, because I need to get that team together that God is speaking to already and are already doing things and got pieces that are part of the puzzle to fall into place. One man I'm going to speak to, I've never met him. Brody introduced me to him. I've never met him yet, just by internet. But I got a meeting with him this coming week. And he goes to Koinonia. And he is mentoring 30 people, young men at this time. And part of our program is to have mentorship for these people that get delivered. Well, and he's training them to mentor others. Well, I want to talk to this man and get him involved. See, God's already got the pieces in place. It's not like we have to, we have to create everything. No, we're just here to facilitate what God is doing. And so I can see all these different pieces and how they're fitting in. And I talk to them, and God bears witness with them, and they want to work together, and we're friends right away. I got a meeting with a young African pastor. His name is Kazumba Charles. That's a good name, isn't it? Kazumba. But he is going around the churches teaching kingdom principles. He's all about kingdom and all about unity. And I just met him at the TV station when I went there for an appointment, but he got there before me. And I was locked out because they locked the building now instead of just having people come in, because everybody's bothering Coonley because they have this money coming in now. So, anyways, Coonley introduced me to him, and I got his email address. I talked to him on the phone the other day, and he's saying how hard it is in Canada because the churches are just separated. One is upset with another one, and there is no unity. And yet, in other countries that he goes to, it's much, much easier. That's why I've always said this is not as easy in Canada. But God has got a remnant of people that he has prepared for this. It's taken them 35 years to prepare us for this, for our part. But in the last, 15, 20 years, and he's gotten the message out, the prophetic message out. He's raised up the prophets. He's raised up the apostolic people. And so there's people out there that want unity. They just don't know how to go about it. They don't even understand it. That's my part to help facilitate this whole thing and bring it together. Because the Lord has had me doing it overseas for 15 years or 20 years already. You see how God works? And everything's in place. So I'm not... I don't feel like I have to go out and make this happen or make that happen. I just got to see what God's doing and bring it together. Talk to them, share the vision, tell them how it's going to work, because God has showed me what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. So this is, I'm not concerned about it at all, because it's God's problem. And like I say, if the whole thing falls apart, he'll start over. But he is going to have his bride without spot or wrinkle. People that can handle the power of God. There'll be lots of people that'll be using the power of God, but haven't become part of the system that God is setting up. And they will want to rule and reign with him, but he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. So, see, I have to teach all these things. If you want to really be blessed in the afterlife, in your eternal position, in your closeness to God, then you'll get involved with his program. And if you don't, just go and do whatever you want. It's not my problem. I'm just here to tell you what God is saying and how this thing works. And if you don't want to listen, it's his word. You have this Holy Spirit within you. Do whatever you want to do. It's not my problem. It's going to be your problem eventually. So, again, the Holy Spirit is going to deal with people's hearts. He's going to bear witness with them. There's times where I speak to people, and man, we're just sitting there laughing. We're joined together already in the Spirit, because it's just something that the Lord does, because it's we're one, and we think the same, because the Lord is speaking to us the same. And as I share the different things that the Lord has shown me, they get excited, because the Lord has been telling them things along the same lines, but they haven't been able to put it together or something. And so all of this is going to come. I just got to have a lot of meetings and with a lot of people, do a lot of teaching. We're setting up the Bible school. It's going to be all kingdom teaching. It's going to be a kingdom Bible training center. So it's all going to come to pass, because God wants it, and he said to do it. So that's how I think. That's how I function. But it's the same in our own personal lives. God is, all the same principles apply. And so you got to look over your life, see all the times God has blessed you, what he saw you through. Why has this become impossible? Yeah. How little is your God, or how big is he? Or how big is your faith? How big is your determination? How big is your... And if you don't have faith, then get in the Word. Encourage yourself with these scriptures, because he is the faithful God. He says, even when we're not faithful, he is, because he cannot deny himself. See, he's the faithful God, so he has to stay faithful. He can't help but be faithful, because he is faithful. He doesn't change. I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. You can always count on him, but you got to do it his way. That's the bottom line. And you got to work that into your life and get stronger and stronger, so then when the crisis comes, you can deal with everyone that comes. Kathy and I, we get problems in our lives. We got 3 kids and 7 grandchildren, 2 grandchildren, brothers and sisters, and people dying, and cancer. And this is cancer, skin cancer. I didn't look after it in time, so it got deep, so they had to cut it out. You guys that were in here last week, I had a great big hunk hanging out of my nose here. They cut this out. Mary Ellen remembers. And they put this pad on there, and they put 50 sutures in here, and then this pad on there, and then they put sutures from the inside of my nose through the pad, tied it down, so that the skin that they took from the back of my neck would be stay pressed down to the meat, and it would adhere. Well, the silly thing started coming loose. I woke up one morning, went like this, not even awake yet. My thumb hit this thing that's sticking out and almost tore it off. And so I got the scissors out, cut the rest of it off, but it's healing good. So just going to have a little bit of a concave here. But he said, if the skin from the back of my neck doesn't match very good and I don't like it, he'll replace it. I said, it's going to be just fine. I ain't going through this again. I'll color it myself or something. You ain't doing this again. But, you know, this is just one of those things. Well, where's your faith? Why didn't you believe God for it to disappear? Why didn't I go to the doctor on time? Because I was too busy. anyways, God uses doctors. That's not a problem. But we always pray and believe him. And he sees us through the whole thing. You know, by the time I realized I had a heart problem, my veins were all plugged up. Yeah, God could have cleared that up. But I think through the operation, I got better habits of eating, better habits of exercise. I'm going to live longer and be healthier. See, because I don't understand all these things, but God has ways of teaching us. But there's the discipline and all of that. And so when you get older, a lot of it is maintenance, isn't it, Pastor Bill? Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. And we thank you that you are the faithful, covenant-keeping God. And Lord, it's only as we develop faithfulness in our own hearts that we can appreciate your faithfulness and how faithful you are. Because if we are lax and don't work the word into our lives, then our hearts can't grasp your faithfulness, Father. Mm-hmm. But we thank you this morning, Father, that we all know you as the faithful, covenant-keeping God. Father, you're so faithful that you swore by yourself that if you're not faithful, you can't even be who you are. So, Father, you did this so that we could be greatly encouraged in every circumstance and situation in life. And, Lord, you use the trials to discipline us. You don't send the trials, but you use them to discipline us. And, Lord, when we don't check our hearts properly or we become indifferent to you, then, Lord, we understand that the protective covering hedge that you have around us can be broken down and the devil can get at us. That negative spiritual realm can have an effect on our lives. If we don't walk in forgiveness, the negative spiritual realm can come and oppress us. So, Father, we thank you for this wisdom, this understanding that you've given us. And we thank you for your faithfulness that you see us through all of these things, Father. And that we will bear fruit in our old age because of your faithfulness, Father. So we just enjoy your presence, Father, in our lives as we go along. And anything that comes our way, we deal with it according to your word and according to your character so that we may come to know you even deeper and deeper, Father. And we thank you for such an awesome plan. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for what you're doing today. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that you trust us to go forth to do what you've called us to do. And we trust you fully, Father, that you will bring this to pass. Just give us the grace in every circumstance and situation that we need to do what you've called us to do, Father. Because we don't trust our own hearts. We don't trust our own emotions. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, because only you can bring this to pass in our personal lives and corporately together in our region. We give you the glory and honor for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Pastor Bill has some instructions for us.
We need 5 rows. We need 2 more rows of tables back there. 2 chairs under each.